Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
So glad.
Matthew, what do you know about Miles Johnson?
He's a brother,
yeah,
and he's in my studio with me.
He is. Hi, Miles.
How you doing?
Good, good. Brianna, what do you know about Miles Johnson?
That he loves the Lord.
Yes, that's true. He effuses that. Is that the right word?
Wow. Is that's that a good great word?
I hope it's right.
Effuses.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's right.
Okay, very good. The people will be fact checking. I know a little bit more about Miles. What I know is when I'm around him, I feel better. Mm. I think I love Jesus more when I'm around Miles because he's contagious that way. I know he's a pastor. I know that he shows up early. He works hard. He's an example for the young guys that he works with at Foothills Christian Church. And I just know that I wanted to learn more. And we've talked a little bit about his life, and it's powerful and it's interesting, and I want to share it with our Sent 315 family.
Let's I love that.
Go.
There we go. Welcome to Sent 315, Miles.
Thank you.
So, what is your life story?
My life story. Okay, when I was a young kid, my mom had a rule in the house. If you don't go to church on Sunday, you can't go outside and play. And for me, I'd rather get a spanking than to stay in the house.
Yeah, amen.
So every Sunday as a child, me and my sister, I have a sister 1 year older than me, okay, we would walk to the local church. Sometimes it was a Catholic church, sometimes it was a Baptist church. All the time they had Sunday school, and I learned about God the Father, Jesus the Savior, and the Holy Spirit at a very young age.
Yeah.
And so I really can't remember not believing in God, mm-hmm, not knowing Jesus was my Savior. And I used to be an altar boy at Christ the King Catholic Church.
Yeah. What does an altar boy do? I hear people saying, I've got a lot of friends that are Catholic, and they talk about being an altar boy. They
talk actually
about
did it once.
The mischief stuff. Did you do mischief, man?
No, I just took the candle thing down and lit it. And
okay. Yeah. Is that what you do?
Well, I used to hold the cup when he was giving communion.
Okay.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I did. Father Murphy was the priest's name, and he loved the kids. He used to take us camping. I experienced camping through him, horseback riding. He did a lot for the community, and because the neighborhood I lived in was predominantly Black, and he just loved the kids, and we loved him.
Yeah, that's
good. So I hear a lot of stories, but it wasn't like that at the church I went to.
And what part, where were you at? Where'd you grow up?
That was over there by 30th and Logan.
Okay.
Over there by the William J. Oaks Boys Club.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go to that boys club since I was 4. I told him I was 5.
Did you have a fake ID?
No. Learned how to swim there, learned how to shoot pool.
Those were the days.
I had a wonderful childhood. People say, if you can go back to any time in your life, I was 10. Without even thinking about it. I go back to being 10, man. Not a worry in the world and just fun all the time. I had a single mom. My dad was in the military. So I never really knew my father. He was in the military when I was born, and he retired when I was about 4 or 5, and he wanted to move the family to Texas, but my mom told no, and she stayed in California.
Wow.
Mm. All my life, my only father was God in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so going to high school, I met a young lady named Deanne Fuller. We fell in love and got married, and she used to go to a church called the Church of the Living God. Her uncle was the pastor. And before we got married, I used to go over there and teach Sunday school. And so one day he was sitting in there, and every second Sunday was Youth Sunday. And he asked me, he goes, this is Youth Sunday, so tonight you're going to give the message.
There we go.
I said, okay.
How old were you?
17.
17?
Oh, wow. 17, first time I preached a sermon. I can't say I preached a sermon. I wrote a paper about how God loves us, and I read my paper.
Hey.
He must have been impressed, because after that, every second Sunday, I would give the message.
Wow.
In the evening, yeah. So I've been in love with God. And when I went to high school at Madison, I graduated from Madison High School in Claremont.
Are they the Falcons?
Warhawks.
Okay, sorry.
Close. I used to carry my Bible with my school books every day, and every morning they had a little donut shop called the Whistle Stop. I would sit there and read scriptures before school every day. So I've been a follower of Christ pretty much my whole life. And I got married at the age of 22. And we went through some rough times. And at the age of 25, rather than turning to God, I turned to crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh man.
And I spent the next 15 years living in the streets, selling and smoking crack cocaine. And for the first 10 years, it was like a sedative to keep the pain away. And after 10 years, and I started going to jail and started going to prison, I'm like, man, I don't want this no more. So for the next 5 years, I did everything in my power to stop. But I couldn't. No matter what I did, I had 10 and a half months. I think it's about the longest I made it. But I would always go back. And in July of 1999, I got a violation for not reporting to my parole officer, because if I was out using, I didn't go see the parole officer, because it's pointless. I'm dirty and you're going to lock me up anyway. So I never went. But I caught a violation. And so when the millennial changed in 2000, I was in prison. And in California, if you were in prison, you were on lockdown because they didn't know what to expect. You know, the Y2K scare. Oh,
everything's
going to
shut down. Yeah, everything. All the doors are going to open. Everybody's going to leave.
Man, I thought that was so ridiculous. I'm like, it's just another day. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, looking back on it, there's a few things that have been ridiculous in our lifetime.
Yeah, very much. But I made a promise to myself on that New Year's that I would never go back to prison. So I got out and I got a job, and I didn't do the right thing because I was living with a girl that wasn't my wife. And in March of that year, I started smoking crack again. Mm. And on my birthday, I had a revelation that I'm going back to prison. And so I just cried and I asked God to help me. In fact, I pleaded with God. I said, God, you got to help me because I can't overcome this. And if you don't do something, I'm going to end up spending a lot of time in prison or I'm going to die out here. And so I'm walking down the alley praying to God, and this guy in the back of a church on the corner of Estrella and Orange.
Now says, you're hey, in my brother, neighborhood now.
Hey, brother, you don't have to live like that no more. We got a ranch where Jesus is, and he can change your life.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And I said, really, God? But I didn't go that day because in my pocket I had a half ounce of drugs, and I couldn't throw it away. But 2 weeks later, on May 14th, 2000, I came into Set Free Ministries, and I've been serving God with my whole heart ever since.
Oh, man. Praise the Lord.
Isn't it amazing how when you get to your lowest point, and sometimes we get to our lowest point several times,
yeah,
that he answers us.
Mm. Not only does he answer, but it's an overwhelming display of love. There's no condemnation.
Yeah, because he meets you there.
He just takes the prodigal son. That's God. Mm-hmm. He don't point out your faults. He don't tell you what took you so long. He just loves you right where you are. Yeah. And so that was transferred into my heart, and I just love people. Yeah. I'm a people person.
Yeah, I can tell.
I love people, and anytime I can help, that's what I do.
Yeah. It's so funny because when you're telling that story, I just see Jesus saying, welcome back, son.
Yeah.
He just feels so good.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's always there waiting. Always there.
Did you work with Set Free too for a while? Did you start?
Well, when I came into Set Free in 2000, they had a thing called pastor school. And what it was is the pastor of a church would come and teach Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, Holy Spirit. And it was never my desire to be a pastor, but I was just hungry for more God. And so I went to all the classes, and Pastor John Cabrera, he was in charge of Set Free San Diego. He could see something. And after about 6 months, I started feeling, man, I have a daughter that for 15 years, I wasn't a part of her life. And so I told Pastor John, man, I got a daughter I got to take care of. And so I got to get a job. He goes, okay, but I think you should pray about it because I really see God want to use you.
Mm.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? God want to use me. I need a job. But I was always one to listen to my elders, those that God put over me. So I went into my little prayer closet and I said, okay, God, if you want to use me in the ministry, I'll just get a part-time job. So the next day I went looking for work. I went down to the shipyard, and a guy that I used to smoke crack with was the one taking the applications. And he recognized me. He goes, "Hey, don't worry. Just put my name on the top, fill out the paperwork. You got a job." I said, "Do you have a part-time position? Because I made a deal with God. I can only take a part-time job." He says, "No, we don't have no part-time positions." So I did not take that job.
Wow.
Because I made a deal. I said, "God, if you want to use me in the ministry, I'll just get part-time work and I'll stay in the ministry." About 3 weeks later, Pastor Wade McKinley needed some help with some work. He owned a couple of properties. And he came, and Pastor John let me go with him. Now, up until this time, I went on several work calls. And when they pay me, I give the money to Pastor John, and he take the money. This time, Pastor Wade gave me $40, and I brought it back. And Pastor John said, "No, you keep it for your daughter." And so Pastor Wade McKinley began to come pick me up on a regular basis. He taught me how to use the airless sprayer. He taught me how to build fences. He taught me how to do demo work. And so from that day on, when my daughter would call me for money, whether it was $5 or $100, I always had it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I serve a great God. She never called and I couldn't help her out. And so after 2 years in the ministry, I met Teresa Korkovilis, fell in love, and we got married on February 2nd, 2003. And we were married for 20 years, and next month would be 2 year anniversary of her passing away.
Yeah.
Yeah, she passed away. She had systemic lupus, and her lupus caused her to have kidney failure. So for the last 9 years of our marriage, she was on dialysis. 2 years ago, she had an aneurysm, and we had a home dialysis machine, and she just passed out and was stuck in between the machine and the bed. And my son, my youngest son, found her there. And she never recovered from the aneurysm.
You know, Miles, this is one of the personal conversations that you and I had, was a little bit about your wife. And,
yeah.
And it was a hard thing, obviously. But I think, really, I feel prompted by the Lord to ask you, what did you learn from her? Hmm. What did she teach you?
A few things. Number one, everybody that say they're a Christian is not a Christian.
Whoa. Yeah, that's fact.
Because she told me she was a Christian. And after we got married, I found out she was a Christian in name. Mm-hmm. She's a Christian like a lot of people today are Christians. They may go to church once in a while, occasionally pick up the book, but other than that, they live like everybody else in the world. And after I discovered that, I'm like, "Man, I wanted a Christian woman, God." We had a couple of fights, not physical fights, but disagreements. And I didn't want to be married no more. And God says, "Do you remember what you said to me?" Mm. I said, "What? For better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do you part?"
Dang it, he was listening.
I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Just love your wife, Miles." Mm. And that's what I did. And about 2 years before she passed away, I was watching television, football game. That's what I mainly watch, sports. And she came downstairs. She goes, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." Cut the TV off. She goes, "Honey, how do I get what you have?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You never get upset. You never worry about anything. You're always smiling. You have the joy of God in your heart, and I want that."
Jesus.
So me and her are doing Bible studies every day. And about 6 months before she passed away, she was a born-again believer.
Wow.
Amen. That's beautiful. Yeah.
And so from that situation, I've learned to never doubt God, no matter how it looks.
Amen.
She passed away. 2 days later, they fired me from ECTLC. The end of that month, I lost my home. Pastor Harold had already passed away, so I was the senior pastor at Christian Fellowship of El Cajon. And so I show up every Sunday, and everybody's waiting for the sadness, the sorrow, but all they see is what they've always seen. A man walking around with the joy of the Lord. And I said, "Pastor Miles, how are you okay?" I said, "Do you guys know what Romans 8:28 say? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Mm-hmm. This God is doing something good in my life. I just don't know what it is right now, but I trust him.
Amen.
Yeah, so I never lost my joy. I never lost my smile because I never lost my God.
One of my biggest encouragements has been remembering monumental moments in my life to help me get through difficult ones. And I really do believe that every time God brings us through a trial, that it chips away at the like first responding of doubt and anger when something happens. Cause like, I just, when I hear like your story, I think of all these things that you've gone through and how God's been faithful. And so it's like, why wouldn't we trust that no matter what happens, whoever gets taken away, whoever passes away, whatever happens, that he would, like, if he's come through the last 100 times, like, we can trust it. And it might not look how we think it's going to look, but he does always come through.
My daughter Bree, her favorite verse for a long time may still be, is consider it all joy when you face various trials. And the reason is because God can do something when we trust him in those things that are very hard. Right? If everything's groovy, then how much trust and confidence and leaning into him do you need? But when it's hard, that's when it's the testing of our faith and who we really believe he is. That's what builds real Christians.
Like, yeah, for me, it's when the Spirit of God lives inside of a person. Because this is what a believer is. A believer is somebody that actually has God within.
Come on.
And so no matter what's going on without, I know the creator of all things got me.
Yeah.
Nothing can really make me worry. Like a couple of weeks ago, I hurt my back and it was crazy. I bent over to dust some dust off my pant leg. Mm-hmm. I stood up and it felt like somebody stabbed me in the back.
Yep.
And so I stayed at work that day.
Yeah.
I went home. The next day I woke up, it was still a little sore. Went home and I tried to do some work and I really hurt it bad. And so it was so bad I had to go to the emergency room. And I had to take the rest of the week off. And I was laid up. And while I was laid up, I listened to 10 sermons by Spurgeon. And his sermons were on the Holy Spirit. And God just gave me a revelation that the reason why people are born-again believers, it's not because they chose Christ. It's because Christ chose them.
Come on.
And oftentimes, you'll hear somebody, you know, suggesting that somebody, man, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. But when you know the scriptures, dead people can't make anybody do anything. And spiritually speaking, the whole world is dead, except for those that are in Christ. And so last night I had a Bible study to go lead, and we got together, and first thing we did was I prayed for God's Spirit to come and lead us, and I began to ask them questions. Why are you a Christian? And they had several different answers. I go to church. I said the sinner's prayer, and I said, did you know that doesn't make you a Christian? What are you talking about? And so we had a great time. We first stop was John 6:44, when Jesus told the crowd, no man can come to me unless my Father draws him. It's not about us choosing him. It's about him choosing us.
Amen.
And then I began to ask, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? And you find that a lot of Christians know very little about the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, you don't have a Bible. You don't have a born-again believer. You don't have anything because that's God. And so the scripture says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so I just want to educate. I just want to help people. I want to encourage them to read their Bibles and have that relationship with God so nobody can deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to be deceived or tricked in a false belief. Oh, I'm saved because I said a sinner's prayer or I got baptized. No, you have to get a regenerated life.
Glory.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he changes you. You're not who you used to be. I went from smoking crack to loving everybody. And I didn't do that.
Redemption.
That was God. And I just thank him and praise him. And I just want to keep doing what I do. Help people know my Savior.
I think that's good work.
Yeah.
And I think you're made for it. Let me ask you this, Miles. What would you say to somebody who's listening, whom it may have really clicked with? You know, what he was saying about so many Christians say they're Christians, and they're not really Christians. How does somebody examine themselves? How does somebody take a look at that? I just was sharing it at a home group last night, and Richard Wurmbrand said, it's not that big a thing believing God. Being like him is a lot harder.
Oh, it's impossible unless he's working in
you. That's exactly right. And he wants to. He wants us to be like his son. That's a plan.
Amen. In fact, that's a God thing. In Ezekiel 36, God says, I'm going to come get you from where I scattered you and bring you back to your own land. I'm going to take out that hard heart of yours and give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to put my spirit inside of you and cause you to do right. And so those that have the Holy Spirit inside of them, they have no peace until they first confess their sins and then they bow down to his authority. The Holy Spirit is always going to uplift and put the spotlight on our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're ignorant of how he works, then you have to pick up your Bible and read the book. Because how many Jesuses are there? There's only one. How many churches are there? There's only one. But how many denominations are there? I know. There's a multitude of them. And if they're all claiming something different, they all cannot be right. Because always there's only one truth. There's not no two truths. It's not your truth and her truth and his truth. There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so I would tell people, examine, see if your life lines up with his. Because one of the things about a believer is we become a part of him. That means we imitate him. That means we desire the things he desired. And his one desire was to do the will of his Father in
heaven. Right, all the time. Mm-hmm. Say what he said, do what he told him to do.
So our desire is to do the will of our Savior. That's all I want. I just want to do what Jesus told me to do. And he says, put God first, love God, and then love everybody else. And if you have love for others, then you know God is working in you. But everybody has self-love. And that's what today, you look at television as self-help and love yourself. And it's all about self. Self is the problem, not the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've been going through and praying through 1 John. I'm going through all the Johns.
I love 1 John.
If you say that you're walking in the light and you hate your brother, you're a liar. It says it just that plain. It also talks about it. If you're a follower of Christ, you should walk like he walked. People should see Jesus in you. And we're not perfect. We stumble. And we need to repent all the time. But we should look a lot like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And love like him.
And when you examine yourself, see what you do. And then see what you do with the Lord. Because Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
And unfortunately, we try to do so much without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to do this and do that and go here and go there. And it's very seldom that we stop and say, Lord, do you want me over here? Is this your will that I go and do this or go on this vacation? A lot of people make their plans. In Proverbs, it says, man makes many plans, but God directs their steps. Mm-hmm. I hear people complaining about the president. I said, how are you going to complain about the president? God put in office who he want. He want Trump. That's why Trump is in office. He wanted Nebuchadnezzar. That's why Nebuchadnezzar was the king. God puts people in place for his purpose. If he's in charge, what do you have to worry about? When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, he gave me life. I trust him with my whole heart.
Yeah. And especially like Brianna was just saying, when he's come through for you so many times and proven himself faithful over and over again, like when you're talking about this back misery that you just went through, I think Matt Hall. Matt, how many surgeries have you had on your back?
12.
And the fact that he has trusted the Lord and persisted through misery has been such an example to me. Man, oh man.
My hurt back gave me a whole new perspective on people that complain about their back. Because I started working out in the gym when I was 17 years old, and I still go to this day. 2 days before I hurt my back, I was in the gym. I'm 65 years old, and I can still bench almost 300 pounds.
Nicely done.
Yeah, so I enjoy working out, and I couldn't believe I hurt my back bending
over. I know.
I'm baffled.
Miles, I was in the gym business for about 25, 30 years, and these huge guys just lifting very heavy things bend over to tie their shoe, and their back is out, and they're crawling to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and sometimes it hurts.
And we're so fragile. And that's what this hurt. It showed me how fragile human life is.
Yeah.
And how precious it is. Health is I'd rather be healthy than anything else other than a born-again believer. Yeah. Health is very important.
And not so, to be taken for granted.
No.
You know, when I'm out running on the trail, I'm just thanking the Lord, thank you that I can do this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lot older than you, and I'm having a whole lot of fun, and I can't bench press maybe 100 pounds, but I can run a long way. And I'm just so grateful. And you see His creation, and we're His creation.
Yeah.
And it's just gratitude. That's what I think about when I see you, that joy and that gratitude.
Yeah. We serve a great God, and He's always put me around people that I just click with. Once I came to Foothills, I was painting with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just loved on me and received me well. And now I'm a part of the team there. It's like, God, how do I always find favor?
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I go, I was in the ministry for 25 years. Everybody loved Pastor Miles, and I love everybody. God just, He gives me so much favor, so many blessings, because for me, that far more than money is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some real good friends. Not a lot of very close friends, but the few that I do have, man, that I wouldn't trade them for all the tea in China. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a people person. I love people.
Well, part of the thing that I really appreciate, the Lord brings people to work for us. Mm-hmm. And they come from a variety of ways. ECTLC is one of them, right?
Yeah.
People have come to work for us, you know, had ankle bracelets on and had just gotten cleans over for the first time. And you know what's incredible is the people that are there that have a relationship with the creator of the universe, God the Father, can bless those people and help those people grow and tell them the truth. And I've seen it just happen time and time again. And that's Amen. What's really special about that team that you're on. Because
yeah.
You can do it, and Robert's doing that, and Elizabeth's doing that. And it's just a great thing.
I think that's how the church is supposed to be in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that it's supposed to be a place that you come how you are, and the Holy Spirit, like you're saying, transforms you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I love when I'm on church campus, is looking around and seeing like all the different departments. And I'm shout out to, I don't know his name, but shout out to the man that steam cleans our carpets.
Brad Scott, baby.
Because sometimes I've walked in on him steam cleaning the youth auditorium, and I've just been like, thank Jesus that yeah. you are steam cleaning this, because it needs it. And I'm so thankful. So many things. You know what I was also thinking? It's interesting how life shows how little of control that we actually have over life. And I was just talking to my mentor, shout out Christine Bailey, yesterday. And I was talking about a couple of things that I'm working through, that me and my husband are working through when it comes to trying to have children and things like that. And at the end of the conversation, I was just reminded of like the lack of control that we actually have
mm-hmm.
over things that we think we have more control over. And obviously, like, we do have dominion over things. Like, we're here and we have to get up and clean our houses and go to work and put gas in our cars and things like that. But there's so many things in our life where it's just, if I can just like have my hand in this circumstance, and then I think that it's better, and God is, but your hand, He like gently removes it. It's not, or sometimes not so gently, He like removes it, and it's like, it's not, but it's not like up to you. Like, you're not in control of that. But also, I really feel like when we realize that, it relieves so much stress and like chaos to there's been so many times where I've just thought, that's just not my problem. Because I'm not the one that's in control. That's not, I don't have to strive and grind for that thing, because if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. And so there is that like kind of dichotomy of the battle of wanting control and releasing it, but it's always so much better when you release it to God.
Yeah, it's like one of our main jobs, one thing that we must do is surrender. That's where a lot of our focus should be. Yeah, or hourly.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been working on. I've been examining my life with a group of guys, and we all passionately, desperately, 100%, I want to be more like Jesus. We absolutely want to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
And it's pretty clear areas that we're not like Jesus.
We got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, like you said, he's with us. He's for us. He said, I just love John 15 all the way to the end. He's saying, abide with me and I'll abide with you, and you'll be in us and we'll be in you. And so that's a good deal.
And such a gracious God to have patience when we are not like him.
It's odd that you had mentioned John 15. The very first Bible verse I remember remembering is John 15:7. Mm. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you.
Look at that. Wow.
Since that was when I was 6.
Wow.
First Bible verse I remember remembering.
Mine was Jesus wept.
That's a youth venture kid right there. Now give me a candy bar.
Shortest verse.
It's so funny because when I was running Lakeside Youth Venture, we would give them candy bars to memorize verses. There's two verses that I wouldn't accept. I love the verses, but it's not a shortcut. Jesus wept is one of them. Okay, big deal.
But
okay,
it's
great.
Important.
I'll give it to you one time, but don't try that one on me again. And John 3:16, because they see it at every football game in the end zone.
Yeah.
I had a kid memorize Psalm 119.
No way.
Yeah.
The whole thing?
The whole
In
thing.
Fact, two kids have done that. One of Eric Cox's kids did it, and then Alex Carr, I know you're not listening, Alex, but someday you might. Alex Carr blew me away. He's a genius. And I went, oh, this is costing me a lot of candy bars. And it was well worth it. And Eric Cox's son, too. Mike Van Meter made him that deal. And it was more than a candy bar that we had to pay that guy. It was a bad deal. It wasn't Trump's deals. Miles, would you do me a favor? Yeah. I think this is I sense a presence of God, and you have changed my attitude from the frenzy that I have, that
Mine
I brought
too.
In. To
Mine
this.
Too.
So it's just the peace of just sitting together, the four of us, and talking about our Savior, what he's done for us, how good he is. Would you pray for the people that are going to be listening to this conversation?
Amen.
Let's do it.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we seek your will, God. We don't know how to get up or how to go out. We don't know what to do, but we know we look to you for the accomplished things that are eternal. Lord, you have this podcast put together. You know who's listening right now. And if you would use us to turn them to the Lord, turn them to your son. God, reach in there and get rid of that stony heart for the listeners that are listening right now. And give them a heart of flesh, as you said in Ezekiel 36, and put your spirit inside of them and bring them to life. May the listeners be the valley of dry bones, and may you give them life. And may the Holy Spirit bring that breath of life into each and every one that you have chosen to be yours. Lord, I don't know who's listening, but I know you are listening. I know that I'm here at your request. I know Kevin asked me to come, but I know it's because of you is why I'm here. And I just thank you so much, because you can take me anywhere and I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to share you with the world, because you are God and there is no other. And it is my prayer that those that are listening come to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And it's in his name I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.